We love supporting family businesses on the Brummie Mummies podcast, and we love saving money. That's why we've invited Laura from My Baby Stroller onto this week's episode to ask her for all of her do's and don'ts when it comes to buying for a newborn. Hi, Laura. Thank you for joining us on the podcast today.
Hi, Zoe.
We are so excited to be partnering with you, My Baby Stroller. It's just such a perfect match. At Brummie Mummies, we love to support small, local, family-run businesses. And yours is brilliant, based in Edgbaston, and giving people so much kind of one-to-one support at such an important time. Because I know having a baby can be so, it's so exciting, but it's so daunting at the same time. Tell us a bit about your experiences of this and why you decided to launch My Baby Stroller.
Obviously, having a baby is like it's a mind-blowing thing, and your whole world changes. You go from being completely free to a different person almost. I didn't know anything about prams. I mean, we didn't have the shop at this point, and we didn't really know what we needed. You're just going off what other people tell you, and obviously that's not always fully reliable. So when we went shopping and stuff, and it was right at the end of lockdown, the last lockdown, so there wasn't really many places to go. We didn't know where to go, and we just went in and, oh, there's a pram, we got that one. And we kind of settled, I guess. And it was I felt like we could have been given more guidance and more had a nice chat. We just wanted to go in and have a nice experience. And for someone to say, oh, you know what? What's your lifestyle like? What are your values? What do you want to do every day with baby? And is this right for you? Maybe you want something like this instead. Just a bit of, you know, a bit of a friendly touch to it, which I think we've kind of lost in the last few years, where everything's moved online and we've moved into like just big chain stores. And we have lost a little bit of that personal touch.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes such a difference, because it is nice to hear from personal experience what works. And as you say, you do need to factor in your lifestyle. I remember we had like a big kind of three-wheeler pushchair that was all terrain, because I wanted to take it through the forest. But obviously that's not ideal for going around shopping supermarkets or things like that. So you need to factor in what you really need, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah. And we have people that live in the countryside and they've travelled in, and they need something for that. And the three-wheelers, the sporty ones, they're ideal. And you can, you know, you can get them and you can modify them so that they're suitable from newborn. Or you can go for your traditional travel systems. People love them. You know, or if you need something like lightweight because you live in a flat block and you don't want it to take a lot of room in your hallway, we can match that as well. But when you're shopping online, it's hard to tell what size of things, the weight of things, and whether it's going to be suitable for you.
I love the idea that you can bring in, if you've already got a little one, you can bring in a little one and they can kind of test some of the toys and things as well. You've got a little play space, haven't you?
Yeah, we've got all the ride-on toys out. I think I kind of took over the half the shop with all the toys. I really loved the idea of having like a kind of wooden toy shop thing. The idea was, you know, kids don't want to be taken pram shopping. They just want to play, and we're fully happy for them to go over there, have a ride on the little bikes and cars, and kind of get out of mum and dad's hair while they're making like a hard purchase, isn't it?
yeah. And obviously you don't just sell pushchairs and toys. What other things do you sell in the shop?
So we do sell furniture, although the space is limited to show it. We've got a few pieces on display, and we sell like all the little things like that you need: clothes, muslins, bottles, breast pumps, baby carriers. Baby carriers are huge at the moment. Anything. Well, we say everything but the baby, but yeah, I'm sure there's things that we're missing, but we've got a good array, I think.
So I know from personal experience that having a baby is hugely expensive. What would you say would be the do's and don'ts about buying for a newborn? Is there anything that you can say, okay, you don't necessarily need that, or you definitely do need this?
I'd say make a list of things that you definitely need. Obviously, you need a cot. You need some form of pram. And if you can get things secondhand off friends, I mean, there's people out that will more than happily pass things on to you. Don't go overboard with clothes. I mean, I'd wait until you, if you're having a baby shower, wait until then, because everyone gets given tons of 0 to 3 month clothes and newborn clothes, and you don't need all of them. So wait for all your friends to buy you them, and then just and save your money for the older months where you've not been given anything. And it's hard to have like know exactly what to get. So for some of it, I'd have a list and wait until the baby's here, because some of the things that you think you need, you might find you're getting on okay without, but you want to have them available to order at a click, I guess, if you need to solve a problem. Archie, for example, he was really, what's the word? He was a really messy baby. He'd spit up a lot, and he was sick a lot. So like, if you're struggling with like reflux or colic, that's not something you necessarily know you're going to struggle with until baby's here, and maybe have a few solutions ready that you can try out. You don't need to buy all this stuff and then find out that baby's like an A-star student and doesn't have any of these issues. And that was, I guess, that's the way to save money.
Yes. I remember one parents telling us that we didn't necessarily need a separate baby bath, and they recommended us like a baby shaped sponge that we could put into the bottom of our bath, which was great because it was not only saving us money, but it saved us loads of space as well. Because that's the thing, baby equipment takes over your house, doesn't it?
It can do. And I mean, you're thinking a lot of people in Birmingham live in, like, I mean, I live in a terrace house, and there's not a lot of storage. You know, you don't want to have all these things that you're only going to use for a couple of weeks and then decide that actually I don't need this. I mean, I'd say for the first couple of weeks, and like talking about baby baths, we washed Archie in the basin. So we didn't need the baby bath, and we ended up getting him a bath support because he got very heavy very quickly. But I mean, maybe you can wait and see if you need that or whether they're okay. I mean, if you're washing them in an inch of water in the bath, you might not find you need it. You can rest your hand underneath their head and that's enough.
Yes. Yeah. What were the lifesavers that you found for Archie?
I think we got a one of those day sleeper, like the Nest pods. And I found that really, really useful because obviously you're with them and they're supervised when they're sleeping, because when they're newborn they sleep all the time, and people say they sleep all the time, but it's sporadic. It's like 20 minutes and then they're awake, and so you can't get anything done and you can't really move. And I found myself stuck on the sofa for like hours just holding baby, and it was lovely, but you want to get up and feel like a human being and wander around the room, maybe get some stuff done. And the Nest Pod, I mean, it's portable. I could put it in the kitchen, I could put it on the sofa next to me, and just have a bit of me back and be able to tidy or do anything just to feel like myself again. I think the other thing, I like the soft wrap carriers. I really enjoyed having him like close to me and still being able to move around. Anything that gives you freedom, I think, is a lifesaver.
Yeah, definitely. So the Nest Pod, is that like, is it a, somewhere for the baby to lie, or is it more of a like a seat, like a bouncer type thing?
Yeah, it's a lie flat. It's got like a cushioned outside. So they as a newborn, obviously they don't really move, and it's long enough, it's big enough for them to lie flat in the middle, like a it's like a day bed. It is, with most of them, it is recommended that you stay with baby because if they've got the raised sides, and there is some discussion about whether that's safe. So I definitely recommend not to leave them in there and walk and leave the room. But if you're staying in the room and you just need to have a little bit of freedom, they are amazing.
Yeah, that sounds good. I remember having one of those bouncers. It got little mobile toys hanging from it, and then a little song, which I loved because he was happy in there, and I could put a wash load in, different things like that. But I do remember by the end of it being absolutely sick of the music.
I mean, I remember we had Sunday lunch, and Archie, bless him, was just at the end of the table in this nest, just sleeping while we were eating our Sunday dinner. And I mean, we did have a bouncer as well, but it took him a little bit longer to settle in it. At first, I'd put him in it, and he would just cry. So I think this is what I mean about waiting and seeing what your baby's like, because they are all different, and you don't know whether they're going to enjoy something. You just presume that they will, and then you don't use it at all because they don't.
Yeah, no, that's really good, because I think you do feel like you need to buy everything in advance and be really organised, but actually that's fine, isn't it, to just adapt as you're going along. I know the other thing I loved was a little play mat that I could lie him on, and it's got all the different different fabrics and textures for them to explore. Yeah, it's just a ways of keeping them entertained even when they're really young.
Yeah, we had that as well. They are great because it's supporting tummy time and getting them into like the activities and sensory aspect of the newborn stage.
In terms of things that you maybe don't need, I mean, we found, because you can buy really fancy changing stations, can't you? Like actual furniture. But we found it, we just had a plastic change mat and we just used to do it on the floor.
For us, I just thought a changing table was like a waste of money. But I think utilising what you've got in your house at the moment is important. Before it was a nursery, it was a spare room and it had a desk in it where I used to do bits of work. And I just turned that into the changing table. I just put the mat on top. And then a few months in, when he started rolling over, having him that high up and trying to change him was an absolute nightmare. So like you, I just ended up changing him on the floor and moved the mat onto the floor. If we had spent money on a changing table, I don't think we'd got much use out of it other than storage. And we already had in that room, we've got inbuilt wardrobes. So it just felt like with an expense that we didn't need to go into.
Yes. Were there other things like that that you felt that were unnecessary?
I mean, you've just got to think, am I going to use that? I mean, I think nappy bins was on the list. And I found our nappy bin really useful. I mean, they go through hundreds of nappies initially. We phased it out when he went on to solids. But for that first few months, it was a lifesaver. I wasn't going to go down to the bin every time because it was, multiple times a day. And you're recovering from having a baby. So just make your life as easy as possible if you can do.
That's such good advice. I didn't bother with a nappy bin because I thought, oh, that's probably unnecessary. And then when my sister had a baby and she used one, I thought, why did I not just have this for me? I was always going to the bin.
Yeah, yes. And then you can just gift it to the next person who's having a baby. And it's not, they don't have to be expensive. You can buy, they do really cheap ones. So you don't have to buy like a fancy one. It just has to be somewhere you can put the nappy and it's contained and the smell's contained.
Yes. Yeah. I remember the other thing that we liked, we had a microwave bottle sterilizer, which was great rather than having a big plug-in device, because if we were going away we could just take it with us. It wasn't like a really bulky thing that we needed to kind of ship around with us.
Yeah, that's something we've discovered since opening the shop. We had one of the big bulky ones, and I mainly breastfed actually, but at the start it was difficult. Many women do find it difficult when we were using bottles a lot, and yeah, it was bulky and you had to keep cleaning out the filter bit, I don't know what it's called. But now, since having the shop, we've seen all these really, really cool systems where they're quite small and you can do it, like you say, do it in the microwave. Like the MAM bottles, you can do you can just put some water in them and do them in the microwave without anything.
Gosh, that's good. Yes.
One of the lifesavers that I've found, and I think a lot of my friends found, is that is having like a prep machine. So if you're bottle feeding, then I mean, those first few months when you're waking up every 3 hours, imagining having to get up and wait for the water to cool so that the milk's a good temperature and baby's screaming and you're tired and you're like on the verge of tears anyway, having that prep machine where you could just like zap and it's done and it's ready to go was just like was a lifesaver.
Yeah, I've seen those. I didn't have one of those, and that they look amazing. I remember, you know, doing the scoop and then with the knife, like leveling off the scoop, making sure that it was all right and then cooling it down. Yeah, it's a real faff. So that does sound really good.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a time saver. I mean, if you're really organized, you could have the milk waiting. You know that they're going to wake up. But if you're like me and you're a complete mess, you just wake up and you go, oh, no, where is it? I haven't done it. You're scrambling around trying to get it ready and walking around with baby.
Yeah, that's it. Because you're always trying to do everything one-handed as well.
Yeah.
And what about products that grow with the child? I'm thinking, you know, when they're weaning and they need to be in a high chair. And with the pushchair as well, what products are good for kind of being able to have a bit of longevity?
The high chairs, I mean, you can get ones that start off as rockers, and there'll be a rocker on a stand. So, you know, it's the same as what you had. You can have it on the floor if you want, or you can have it on the high chair stand. And then you don't have to bend down, and that's the appeal of that. And then as the baby grows up, obviously you move them into the chair, and then as they're getting even older, then you can move the chair off and attach that to one of your dining chairs, or it becomes its own standalone, like small chair on the floor. So there's loads of solutions there. I mean, you've got the toddler cots, so a cot that is turns into a cot bed at the end, which will last you for years, rather than having all these. I mean, you can get the co-sleepers and the next to me's. People still enjoy having them on the Moses basket, whichever you've chosen. But if you can't afford that and you just want to go straight for a cot, and you know going for a cot bed will save you money in the long run. What else is there? The baby carriers. If you get one, if you get the right one, you can get ones that will go for up to 4 years. I mean, I always say, who wants a 4-year-old hanging off them? mine's huge and he's two. but I mean, once they get heavy, these carriers will then turn around and go on your back, which obviously is more comfortable when they are heavy. So you've got then, you know, they've got little legs and they don't want to walk a long way. But if you want to go walking around Clent and you don't want to take the stroller out, you've got that freedom then. You can walk for a bit and then I'm going to put him on my back. And I think that offers a lot for parents and a lot of freedom to kind of live their lives how they want to and not be kind of constrained by what they've bought in the past.
Yeah, that's good. And I think kids like that stability as well, don't they? They know this is my high chair that I sit in. This is where I go to sleep or whatever. Yeah. So they're used to it. So it makes it easy, doesn't it? We had one of those stocker chairs, which you can kind of make it grow with the child. You keep lowering the seat, the step and widening the seat. And then eventually it turned into just a kitchen chair, which was great.
Yeah, they're great there. I think you're right with the beds. I mean, I think a lot of parents, is that moment when you move them from the next to me to the cot, is like this moment of dread because you're changing the whole thing. You're moving them from room to room, and you don't know whether they're going to take to it. And I think, I mean, we're at that stage now. We're probably about to take the sides off the cot. So we're at that stage where we're like, oh, but if we were changing him completely into a different bed, it would be worse, I think. And yeah, like you say, with the high chair, it's important that they have more use than just being a high chair, because you're spending a lot of money on something and it should last a long time. I think nowadays, and everyone makes jokes, you know, in the olden days they built this, and you know, I've got this microwave from 1975, it's still going. But within nowadays, things aren't built to last, but that's where the versatility of these products comes in.
Yeah, because that's great for your wallet and it's good for the environment as well. And some of these products are so solid, as you say, you can then sell them or pass them on to relatives, which is great. I know we had one of those little travel high chairs, it was like inflatable, that you could strap round to, say, a chair in a pub or somewhere if you were going out for lunch. And I thought that was really good, because sometimes you can't get hold of a high chair if they're all in use, or they seem a bit grubby. So it's quite nice to take your own, isn't it?
That's a good idea. We've got the little seat. I haven't actually used it yet. It was a gift from a friend, like a hand-me-down. But it's like one of those seats that you just attach to the chair, which I think is a similar thing, but not inflatable, so not as portable. But they seem really useful now, especially because he's really, I mean, we're confining him in the high chair, but he's really outgrown it. And we just probably should be using the seat instead, so he's on it. He loves being sat at the table with us. I mean, we all eat together anyway, but he's obviously on a slightly different height to us. So it's so him being at the dining table, it's like on, like I say, for Sunday lunch, he just loves it. He's just there, like, loving life. But then he's escaping, so that's the complication. So that chair might be the solution to that.
I think this is the joy of your shop, isn't it? That it's a real kind of, it's a really real community space, isn't it? So the conversation we're having now, I bet you have this every day with mums and dads saying, well, I've used this and this works and this didn't work. And then you can pass that information on to other people as well.
Absolutely. If people are interested in something and I didn't like it, I will tell them. I mean, I might sell it, but I'm going to be honest about it. If some people come in and they have their heart absolutely set on something, I'm not going to change their mind. But if you are going, oh, do I really need this? I'm not sure. That's who I was, you know, when I was expecting. You've seen all these lists online of people saying you need this, you need that, you need this. And you're going, I don't even know what half this stuff is. So going into our shop, you know, and it is a real family shop. Everyone, like, it's my mother-in-law, my aunt-in-law, Richard, and myself that work in there. That's all the people that work in there. So every time you go in there, you're talking to one of the family, and they've all got different experiences of all these products in one way or another. So they will, and my mother-in-law loves a chat. So she will just, and people love that. They will come in and you'll just stand chatting to them for ages. What I wanted to create by having a shop, I've always had kind of like a drive to give back. And I always felt that was lacking, because I used to work in hospitality, which it's not on the same level as being like a nurse or doing something like that. And I always felt like I needed something more altruistic in life. So eventually, as the shop grows, I'm hoping to build more of a community. And I want to have something that where people can come for advice or for help if they need it. And I can point them in the right direction, because I feel like that's something, like, especially postnatal, actually, is where you kind of get, right, here's the baby, and now what? You kind of just left, and a lot of mums are kind of like, I don't know what to do now. And I feel like that's what we're lacking. And I want to create somewhere where people can go and go, look, I'm desperate. I need some help. And it's not just about the shop to me. It's about that community.
I think that's lovely, and that's so important. And it's like a safe space, isn't it, to just go and talk and say, look, this isn't really working out for me. How can I get help?
A lot of people have been through exactly the same situation. You go into it and you think, I'm such a mentally strong person. I've got, you know, I've got no reason to be here being upset or anxious. But, you know, the hormones that you go through in pregnancy and post-pregnancy are insane, and you don't realize, and it's something that you can't understand until you've done it. You know, you're crying at 3 o'clock in the morning over, you know, over nothing really. But at the time, it's the biggest thing, and you need to talk about it, because people don't talk about it unless it's really serious, and then it's, yes, you know, almost too late.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what makes My Baby Stroller so unique, isn't it? I think there's so many high street brands, and as you say, you can buy everything online. That's what makes what you do really special. That's that human element to it, isn't it?
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, I just want people to have a positive experience of it. I heard so many things. You know, I ordered this pram online, and it's huge and heavy. I didn't really know what I was getting. You know, you've got it out of the box, you've built it, you've used it for a couple of weeks or months, and then you thought, I'm not really happy with this. But you can't send it back because you've used it. And, you know, at least if you've got somewhere where you can go, you can try different things out. We've had people walking up and down the Creamfield Crescent with, you know, with a dummy baby in the pram. If you've got that opportunity to do that, you can go, yeah, I think this is quite light. This is quite, I like the look of it. You know, people get more out of it, and then they have that positive experience at the same time. So the whole thing is a positive moment, because it's a huge thing. You know, people are excited to buy something for their brand new baby, and it should be exciting and not something you're dreading. So hopefully we can create those experiences.
So I'm going to put you on the spot now, if that's all right. Could you give us a kit list that you think all new mums and dads should have ready for their new arrival?
When people come in, we do offer like baby bundles, which are like customizable. So if anyone was to come in and have absolutely no idea, you know, and we can give them a few ideas, just send this list out. There's no obligation to like buy anything on the list, but they can be like, oh yeah, I hadn't thought of that. I'd say obviously a stroller and a cot, like they're the main things. If you can't get anything else, those are the two things you need. I'd put a Nest, like the Nest pod that we use, because it was a lifesaver for me. Some form of baby carrier. Baby wearing is so huge now. It doesn't have to be one of the big expensive ones, or it could just be like a fabric wrap, which are really affordable at the moment, just for that bit of freedom in the first few weeks, few months. Lots of muslins, because they are so messy, and you know, you don't want to be using hundreds of wipes. You're already going to be using wipes as it is, so muslins are really a lifesaver. Some form of maybe like you say, a baby bath, or maybe like a more of a baby bath support for when they're not quite sat up, but they're a bit heavy for you to hold on to. Like a baby care kit. You can get these kits where they have like a hairbrush, a thermometer, like a little nail file. They're quite useful just to have there in case you need it, and it's all in one place. Have some bottles ready. Even if you're planning on breastfeeding, have the bottles there. You need maybe some formula just in case, and a breast pump, or if you're not breastfeeding, a prep machine. A bouncer, so like you had like a bouncer on the floor, that's amazing. Some basic sensory toys. The black and white like cards are really good, or like the scrunchy soft toys. A white noise machine, possibly, if you're struggling in the first few months of sleep. They do seem to work. I mean, I'm not 100%, but like we had a white noise for Archie, and I did feel like it was working.
I remember vacuuming next to the nursery, trying to create my own white noise.
I think a changing mat and a changing bag are important, but get something that suits your style. Don't get like a horrible bulky baby bag. Just get like a rucksack that you like, that has all the pockets that you need. And then lots and lots of nappies and wipes. That's the main things. If you're doing the reusable nappies, I mean, I'm maybe next time for me, but make sure you have enough that you're going to get through, because they are just so messy, and they just They just do a lot of pooing and weeing. You just have to make sure you've got enough there that you just, change.
Oh, that's a great list. That's really helpful.
I feel like I've missed things off, but like, we do these lists, and if you come in and you need a bit of inspiration, we will send you like a list like this, and you can say, well, I don't really want the nest or the carrier, but I've seen this on, and I quite like the look of this, and then we will find whatever it is that you've seen that you want on the list.
You can order things in for people.
We're only human, and there are probably things we haven't thought of, and there'll be new things coming out that we might not have seen. So if there is something that, you know, this a brand new fantastic thing that you've seen and we haven't got it in the shop, so we probably can get hold of it.
Oh, that's great. So we have a series of three questions that we ask all of our guests. So I'm going to ask you those now, if that's okay. So what are the two things you would tell your 18-year-old self if you had the chance?
Firstly, stop messing around. I think I was a bit immature. Get your head down. I would have loved to have done something with my degree, but just kind of wanted to have fun. And then the second one, spend more time with people that matter. As you said, I think you spent a lot of time wasting time with people that you don't sit, like, I don't know any, like, a lot of people from when I was 18. And then on the way, you might lose people that you wish you'd spent a bit more time with. That's a bit deep.
No, that's very, very valid. Yeah, definitely. I think we can all empathise with that. What are three things that you love to do every day? What gives you a great start, end and routine to the day?
That's suggesting that I'm an organised person.
I realise it's difficult with a two-year-old.
I mean, I'm trying. I tend to start the morning having a cup of tea and breakfast with Archie. That's like every morning. I think we haven't aced this, but I think getting out of the house early is key to having like a feeling like you've had a productive day. Because if we're going out and we leave it like till like 11 o'clock, and then he's tired because he's still napping, so then we end up, he's not having a great time because we're out during his nap and then he naps late. It just seems to like pile on for the rest of the day. Whereas if we're out bright and early, we seem to have a great time, get back for lunch, and I feel like, oh, it's only 12 o'clock and I've done all these things. So I think that's a good thing. And then make sure you have some time in the evening, like to watch TV or read a book or just have some time for you. I think that's important.
And what's the one piece of advice you'd give to a new parent?
Probably don't take social media at face value. I think a lot of things are very sugar-coated online, and you can get this, like, you know, the women with their perfectly curled hair and looking fresh, and then you're looking in the mirror like with, you know, leaky boobs and and bags under your eyes. I mean, everyone is looking like that, and you know, they've taken a photo for social media that they've had time to do themselves up. And yeah, there's a lot of pressure, and don't adhere to it.
Yes, I love that advice, definitely. Oh, well, it's been great to talk to you today, Laura. Is there anything else you wanted to mention about my baby stroller?
No, yeah, just we're obviously located on Greenfield Crescent in Edgbaston, and there's lots of parking behind us. People have a problem with parking there, but there is loads of parking. Please come and visit us. We're happy to talk to anyone and everyone. And yes, it would be lovely to see more people down Greenfield Crescent. And there's some lovely food places there. We've got Boston Tea Party, Chapter, Smoke and Ash, a brilliant restaurant that's opened up by the end of last year, I think. Please come and visit us. It's a great day out anyway. So,
fantastic. That's brilliant. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
You can read more about My Baby Stroller on the Birmingham Live website and on the Brummie Mummies Facebook page. Find out more via Laura's website, mybabystroller.co.uk too. Please share this episode with anyone who may find it useful. Follow Brummie Mummies on social media and sign up for our free newsletter. See you next time.